Well, hey, and welcome to another episode of That Real Housewives Roundup with me, Invincibly. Today we're discussing the 12th and final episode of The Real Housewives of Dubai. Miss Goat sadly passed on and Lisa hosted a vigil for her. And while Curried Goat was back on the menu, Lisa finally came out of her confessional and brought that energy to the scene, trying to clock Caroline for being messy and for blocking her on Instagram. Sarah hosted a grand desert escape filled with camels and couture. Let's hope these ladies can get it together one last time. Let's discuss all this and more, starting now on That Real Housewives Roundup. And so, we've come to the end of an interesting rookie season of The Real Housewives of Dubai. Hey girl, tell me, did you enjoy this season? Will you miss our Dubai dames? Are you looking forward to see what they have in store for season 2? What would you change? Who would you add? Is there a spot for Phaedra in Dubai? It's been a season filled with opulence, culture, lavish events, flip-flopping friendships, and of course drama. We saw loads of that. From being disinvited to a hen party, to wars breaking out over parenting comments. Not even Nina Sage or Sarah's quotes could save these ladies. But in the end, they came together, in the desert, and gave us a show like no other. Now that the foundation has been laid, I'm excited to see what they will whip up for season 2. But for now, let's get this show started. We start this last episode with a vigil, very fitting, held at Lisa's house. The mood is somber, candlelights flickering all around, people are dressed in black. Child, the fuckery starts with a memorial for Miss Goat. Apparently Miss Goat passed away, and Lisa tells that Miss Goat got sick and eventually passed on, leaving an empty space in their family. Bitch, I'm sure they had Curried Goat for dinner that whole week. Ayan, Taj and the gang joins Lisa and her family as they remember the great Miss Lillian Goat. Ayan, an emotional mess, brings attention to the lifelike portrait that Lisa had done for the memorial. And Ayan says, yes, that portrait perfectly portrays Miss Goat, just as she was. Ayan stated that Miss Goat lived a short, yet amazing life. This funeral soon turned into a fun-neural, as Lisa tried to turn things up, bumping and grinding to some beats, with the whole family now celebrating Miss Goat's life. Even her three boys, all wearing white Givenchy shirts, were here for the fuck shit. Oh, Miss Goat, you came onto the scene in true Ayan fashion and hilarity, unlike anything we've ever seen before. Curried, devoured, but never forgotten. Rest in power, Miss Goat.
If Miss Goat lived in my village, all I'm gonna do is send it out, go grass-fed it by itself, and come back. This Miss Goat was bougie as hell. She was eating organic food, she had Dior clothes. Miss Goat lived her best Dubai life.
But, wait, y'all. I have one question, and one question only. Now how does Miss Goat got a whole Mina Rowe range of tributees in her short life, but we've been waiting 14 business years for Sheba Isharay? Anyway, Lisa and Ayan, still at the vigil, decide to have a convo on the side. We hear that the previous night the girls had a cooking class, where Nina and Lisa got into it. Lisa tells Ayan of Nina confronting her over the fact that Lisa called her out over the things that Nina has said in the past about Caroline. Nina made it clear to Lisa that she doesn't appreciate Lisa's repetitive comments. I mean, Nina has a point. It always gets brought up, but she and Caroline are good. Drop it now, Lisa. Like, what are you guys trying to get out of it? Lisa says her issue is that it's weird for Caroline and Nina to form such a tight friendship in such a short time. And as per usual, her puppet Ayan just agrees with everything Lisa says. Eye roll. Well, the ladies have one more chance to fix it, since we hear that Sarah invited everyone for a little desert getaway to Ras Al Khaimah. Across town, Brooks, Adam and new puppy Lulu meet Zoran, Brooks's ex and Adam's dad at Burr's Park in downtown Dubai. Adam is so excited to see his father, while also wearing his white Givenchy shirt. Child, it must have been on clearance over in the kiddie section. Everyone is in good spirits and the adults get a chance to discuss Adam and Adam's struggles, especially with the bullying that is happening at school. As they are conversing about life and their lifestyles in Dubai, we hear that Zoran has been in the country since 2004, whereas per Brooks, he met his second wife, and he replies he always picks the wrong ones. And then here goes Givenchy Adam, adding his two cents, saying that his dad isn't wrong. It all just depends on gold diggers. Who, child? There. And our jaws dropped. That Brooks felt very attacked by her own son. They talk about Brooks' spa, the construction timeline, and she explains again about her dream of being an entrepreneur. And in 5 months, her dreams will come into fruition. Zoran, who is a developer on the project, makes it clear that she still has to pay him. He isn't doing shit for free. Just to let you know. This week, Caroline also invited Brooks as a guest on her podcast, Divorced Not Dead, and they had a very eye-opening conversation about Brooks's journey, where she started, how she built herself up, and the struggles and tribulations that she had to go through in order to thrive and to stand on her own 2 feet. By listening to this podcast episode, I realized that we still don't have Brooks's entire story down. I was surprised to hear that she went to live in Serbia for a few years with Zoran and Adam, where she had to plot an escape with the help of her mother to get away from the abuse in her relationship and the life where she felt trapped. There's a book in there and I, for one, will be reading it. Girl, in a short filler scene we see Nina outside of her address Skyview apartment building, where a fleet of luxury cars are parked for her choosing. Bitch, we had a red Lambo truck, a white Maserati, and of course, a beautiful black Rolls-Royce SUV. Munaf spoiled Nina, probably to make up for the mishap with their new home. But hey, even her daughter is here for it, and together they go on a test drive. Must be nice. Now we're over at the Fakir IVF Center, where it is the day of Caroline's egg retrieval, and Sergio is there to lend support to his wife. Sergio, as you can imagine, is being a ball of nerves, whereas Caroline is as cool as a cucumber. The clinic is known to be the best in the UAE, and Caroline is especially excited because before she and Sergio couldn't create embryos, since it was illegal to do so for unmarried couples. They're officially married now, so it's all systems go. Caroline is no stranger to the whole IVF business, since she had to go through it when she had her twin boys. We also got to hear that after she had her daughter Yasmin, she had 2 miscarriages, then did IVF to have her boys. Caroline is quite happy to explore this journey again, and she said that she couldn't imagine her life any other way. 2 hours later, the procedure is done, and Caroline and Sergio are dreaming of their little one being born. Sergio is imagining a cute little girl that he can dress up and spoil. Caroline states that Sergio says that he is fine if they are not successful with having kids, but she doesn't believe that. She continues to say that she manifested everything that she has in life, so she's manifesting this new baby too, It better happen. Why not? Dr. Faki managed to get 5 eggs, which they are very happy about. They've started an exciting journey. Can't wait to see how it plays out. Over in JBR, we are at Ayan's apartment, where she's on the telephone FaceTiming with her sister Ifra. Ayan is looking fresh and happy and is decked out in African prints. Girl is excited to tell Ifra about the hypnotherapy that she started in order to deal with her past traumas. Ifra is Ayan's older sister. They think that they're 3 or 4 years apart. Just like the mystery with Ayan's age, they also don't know their age difference. Anyway, it is Ifra who is like a mother and superhero to Ayan. Ayan is so excited to see and touch base with her favorite person, and you can see that they have much love for one another. When Taj walked into the room, he also got a chance to enjoy a moment with his auntie, saying that this is his favorite auntie since she cooks way better than his mother. And even Ayan couldn't argue with that. Ayan and Ifra continue to talk, and Ayan tells her that the therapy was the best thing. She felt free. Even Ifra did it. She said that she went through weeks of crying since it's such a heavy thing to go through, but she's free. Ayan continues to thank Ifra again for being a hero and warrior to Ayan. She's her everything. On that note, let's take a quick break. BRB. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of That Real Housewives Roundup. Join me each week as we discuss the latest antics of the housewives we love, the Roundup reviews, and my personal favorite, the Leanne Rimes. Go on, subscribe to this podcast, and engage with me on all socials at Real Housewives Roundup. Don't be tardy for this podcast party. Now, back to the show. With another cool montage of all the girls getting ready and packing as they get ready for their road trip to Ras Al Khaimah. Sarah is amped and ready, en route in her Nissan Patrol, which production made us believe that was a Range Rover. Nina is stepping out of her building with the 3 SUVs just beautifully greeting her. But girl, what threw me was when Brooks went to pick up Caroline. She was already lit. Girl started drinking early. And per usual, it showed. Sarah put this little trip together. Rak is only an hour's drive from Dubai, and it's very different from Dubai. It's very cultural and traditional. Sarah loves that part of the country and wants all the girls to have a good time over there. Caroline is feeling a little nervous to go, since she's super hormonal and emotional due to the IVF. She decided that she's just going to sit back and remove herself from everything that can upset her. That's you, Ayan. They're staying at the Ritz-Carlton Al Wadi, a tranquil resort out in the desert, which is absolutely stunning. The girls had champagne and a whole afternoon spread waiting for them. First to arrive is Nina, then the Carolines, all enjoying their champers. And when Lisa and Ayan walked in, the mood instantly changed. Nina ain't here for it, especially since Lisa wants to comment on her friendship with her BFFN Caroline, which all of a sudden is now turning Nina into the enemy. Like, the fuck? It's air kisses and fakery all around, and I can now understand why Brooks decided to start drinking early. Bitch, I would have done the same if I was thrown into that circle of women.
I'm finally not the center of all the beef and tension. I'm happy. It's like a weight lifted off my shoulders. But let's be clear. Anytime I'm around these women, I need to have a glass of wine. To me, a bottle is a glass.
Arrival formalities now done, the ladies get transported to their villas, champagne in hand. Brooks had so many drinks by now that she almost wanted to throw up. Girl, Ayan was screaming, 'cause she's wearing Givenchy. Yep, this episode must be sponsored by Givenchy, 'cause girl, Ayan and the kids now. Anyway, Ayan didn't want Brooks to mess over her Givenchy fit. They finally get to the villa, and waiting for them is a decked-out Sara Al-Madani, a vision in white, atop a damn camel. Now that's how you do it.
This is gonna be a great vacation, honey. Camels in Couture.
I'm covered in champagne.
Camels in Couture.
The ladies get a tour of their fabulous accommodations, and girl, it's gorgeous, stunning, very arabesque. Pool villas beautifully decorated with even another spread prepared, waiting to be devoured. A munch and crunch, as Brooks would say, but Nina is just happy that she got her scones this time. The girls got to relax poolside, doing more of the munch and crunch, and Sara mentions that she's got rules for this trip. Oh boy, here we go. Sara says that on this trip, she doesn't want to hear about what each one of them have or what they do. She only cares how rich they are in their hearts, and she will send a heifer home on a camel if they don't obey. Tell 'em, Sara. As the ladies sit down to converse and enjoy each other's company, for now, Sara asks Ayan to share her news with the ladies, and Ayan tells them of the hypnotherapy that she started and how Sara influenced her and was right about it. She shares a little of the experience and especially how it treated the trauma from her childhood, and the ladies came together, being super supportive towards her. Caroline states that the hair on her arm stand up just thinking of Ayan's childhood, especially at 5, when you have no voice, having to go through all of that trauma. Lisa says Ayan is one of the most amazing women that she knows, and she is so proud of her. And then here goes Brooks, praising Sara for her kindness and being oh so non-judgmental. She goes on by telling Sara how wonderful she is, how beautiful she is, and how great she is. And then she tells Sara that she wants to be her. I was like, bitch, where the fuck did this Brooks came from? 'Cause just last week you were ready to slaughter Sara. Child, the fuckery of it all. I need to know what was in Brooks's glass that got her eyes so droopy and heavy and talking all of this shit. Sara now jumps on Brooks, and they are now the most loved up friends that we've ever seen. Sara planned an afternoon excursion for the girls and brought each of them traditional jalabiyas to wear, which is very Emirati. They normally wear these colorful and blinged out dresses for grand occasions and cultural events. These ladies are in their element, choosing their own colorful and blinged out outfits. Lisa showed out in a fuchsia pink number with gold detailing. Caroline came through with a soft baby blue dress with beaded shoulders and extra white wing-like sleeves. Brooks walked in with a cup of coffee in hand, probably to sober up in order to make it through. At least she looked good with her red jalabiya adorned with gold detailing all around. Ayan and Nina both wore emerald green dresses with gold layered all over. Sara looked absolutely stunning in a soft pink beaded gown with hair and makeup on point. Sara informs the girls that they will have to ride on camels to a desert location where they will enjoy an evening filled with food, entertainment, and Arabian fun. Not all are excited about the camels, child. Brooks especially wasn't here for it. She wanted to be driven in a Rolls, even if it's Nina's one. The girls got paired in twos with Caroline and Lisa on a camel. Very shady. Then Ayan and Brooks got on another camel. A hot mess. And finally Sara and Nina got to enjoy their camel ride together in peace. They make it to the dinner site, where they are greeted by Emirati Bedouins or tribesmen, giving them a welcoming dance before the traditional Emirati food got served. Sara, of course, gave them a whole rundown of what the food is and how to eat it with their hands. And some ladies just can't even. Caroline can't get into it, sticking with her utensils, whereas Brooks were reminded of a drunken night out, eating McDonald's, digging in with those hands. The setting is stunning, peaceful, lit up with 1,000 candles, and before everyone digs into the food, Sarah wants to clear the air by asking if everyone at the table is okay with each other. Okay, Carl Richards? There's an awkward silence, and everyone is just glossing over this question. Until it came to Lisa. Lisa says that she's okay with everyone, even though she has a wall up with Caroline, since everyone doesn't have to be besties. Even Caroline chimes in and agrees that they're good, and this is the best that they'll be, so take it. Sarah asks again if they have issues that needs resolving, and Lisa opens up that she's heard of Caroline asking about her. And Caroline is like, yeah, they all ask around about each other, which in my opinion was probably when they heard that they were the final women being cast for the show. Caroline says again that the two of them just haven't clicked yet, and now Lisa wants to take it further, telling how everyone told her about Caroline inquiring about her and the family. But don't we all do that? But girl, the straw that broke the Russell Heimer Desert Camel's back was when Lisa found out that Caroline blocked her on Instagram. Boom. That's the issue. That's the problem. Sarah is over here, sitting shocked over this tea.
So I went on your page and saw that you blocked me. So I feel like...
Caroline!
Yeah. Okay, keep each other blocked. Don't follow each other. That's fine.
Lisa says that Caroline used to follow her and live in her DMs. And Caroline says that, yeah, she blocked her. She didn't want any of Lisa's negativity in her space and on her social screens where she lives. Lisa is now offended since Caroline thinks that she is so negative and tells how Caroline said that Lisa is poison on a group chat. These two are now going tit for tat, with Caroline telling that Lisa called her messy and then Lisa casually telling Caroline that yes, 'cause you are. Sarah is now tired of being the fixer. She says that they don't even have any intention to get it together. So she and we will just have to leave it as it is. Next on the entertainment front, a fire dancer shows up. Brooks and Ayan all afraid that their synthetic wigs might catch flames. Nina was in her element again when Nadia, the belly dancer, showed up, moving her hips from side to side. Brooks feeling seduced while Ayan is feeling the need to get some belly dancing lessons since she's got 2 left feet. At the end, Sarah gave us a Sarahism for the day. You can't drag me downhill, but I will never be impacted by someone's negativity. Okay, Michelle Obama. That's it. That's the episode. That's a wrap on the first season. Let's quickly go through the season's ending cards. Ayan is developing a new makeup line since she believes everyone deserves to look like her. Period. Dot. Lisa is making changes after losing Miss Goat, so she's getting the boys a goldfish, but curried goat is back on the menu. Nina's dream home is almost complete with her favorite feature, an air fryer for her french fries, child. Sarah is working on her next venture, which is to launch the career of an aspiring comedian, Hassan Maktoum. Caroline is excited for the future while in the middle of a do-over. Baby Carello will remain on ice until the end of this year, while Sergio will have to complete a course in sex education. Brooks is preparing to open the glass house, her spa. Everyone who is important to her will be invited, including her future ex-investor. Well, beautiful people, in closing, here's Caroline.
I'm in the middle of a do-over, and I just got started.
Get it, girl. With that said, it's time for a Leanne rhyme. Hit it. We came to the end of the first season of Dubai. All the ladies showed up except our seventh housewife Sergio, no lies. Sergio is prepping for his role as a new daddy-to-be, while Caroline is still on a do-over journey, living life free. Must go transcended into some beautiful curry, rest in peace. And just like hot curry, the girls ended up in a hot desert, not Greece. Sarah tried to make the most of this last desert escape, filled with camel rides, fire dances, belly dances, but no shakes. Alas, we made it through the first season with the ladies still friendly. But Brooks played the game right, lick it up, and that sent me. And that, friends, a final episode sponsored by Givenchy. Bye, bitch.